All right. So this is a collaborative effort. It's been a really good project. Two things that get me excited are fast motorcycles and fast computing. Unfortunately, no motorcycles today, but we will have some fast computing. Let me start the time here. All right, let's begin. So an overview of these slides is right here. I'm going to explain what SatScan is and kind of give a conceptual foundation for the rest of the slides, give you some background on our data, a little bit about methodology, a specific example, and conclusions and future work. So SatScan is an application that does temporal and space-time computation. It's free. You can find more information at satscan.org. Some of the key characteristics of SatScan are that it's based on Monte Carlo simulations or replications, and it's compute intensive, and it's commonly used to model the progression of epidemics. This is an example of what is produced by running SatScan on the cloud. So this is a map of Utah, for those of you who may not be familiar with Utah. The blue lines are county lines, the red is part of the outbreak, and then you have your clusters in there. So SatScan jobs can take a long time, as in they can take several hours, days, or even weeks. So it's a computation that we would like to optimize and find faster ways to get people good results. The SatScan uses the Monte Carlo replication, which lends itself well to breaking it up on the cloud into ensemble runs. And key to, I'd say one of the novelties of this research is that we're able to dynamically acquire the resources that we distribute our computations across. So here the grid is defined and the cloud is defined. The key thing on this slide really is that cloud allows you to dynamically acquire resources, as in you can get resources on demand, so they're there when you need them. I'm sure some of the presenters that follow me will have some other benefits here, but a few that I would like to mention on the benefits of cloud are, resources on demand. That's really the key. Potential to pay as you go. Build in IT, you can build IT or lease IT, and leasing it can be a good option for certain disciplines. And infrastructure as a service is what cloud offers. There are many technologies that a cloud is implemented with. We've got IBM CloudBurst, we've got Amazon EC2, and Nimbus TP2.x. We use Nimbus. I'll go into the reasons for using Nimbus in a bit. So some of you have probably heard of virtualization, maybe some of you haven't. Virtualization is really running more than one operating system on a computer. So you can see here that we have a host OS, Windows XP, and we have a guest OS. So you have two operating systems on computer A. It's important to note here that in this research, we created Linux guest OSs and flew them around on demand. So we'll get into the flying around part in a bit. But a couple of things that drew us to Nimbus is that it allows us to craft a deployable custom virtual machine. So from here on out, VM is virtual machine. So it's the idea of having more than one OS on a computer. It's actually, we typically refer to it as the guest OS. And Nimbus allows you to deploy a virtual machine on demand. So you can stand up your resources when you need them and say, oh, I need them for only a week, and they're gone when you're done. Another key to Nimbus is that it's open source. So I realize in public health that a lot of times data just cannot leave a public health walls, a public health firewalls. So we used Argonne National Labs resources for this research. We used their cloud install for it. But it is possible with Nimbus to set up your own cloud within your public health domain. This is one of those conceptual foundation topics I mentioned earlier. So in high-performance computing, or in computing in general, we have something called speedup. And in this case, speedup is the time of a single run divided by the time of ensemble runs, or parallel runs. Some people might call them parallel runs. In order to calculate speedup accurately, you have to have identical hardware. So that'll be a key that we bring up later as well. The data that we used for this was critical to our success. We used Virginia Bioinformatics Institute was nice enough to let us use their data for this research. And here's some information about the data. So at a high level, our methodology is that we took SatScan, which is this compute-intensive application. We wrapped a grid service around it so that we could use it remotely, and we installed SatScan on as a grid service into a Linux virtual machine. Remember, the virtual machine is the thing we fly around. So we actually deploy a Linux virtual machine on demand and have it stand up when we need it. We configured our Nimbus client to work with Argonne National Lab. It basically uses SSL for security. So what does all this really do for us? Well, it, as an example, I'll expand on later. If we say we need 10 nodes, and we need them for all day today, then we could just press a button, have 10 cloud nodes boot up, and disappear when we're done. So here's an example with 5 nodes. You can see the Utah SatScan grid service client on the left, and then you got all your cloud grid service servers on the right. We tried to use realistic data, or we tried to make this as real life as possible. So these are actual cases, and they're pertussis. It's pertussis data. So here is the foundation for the concrete example I'm going to give. So let's say that we have a SatScan job that we want to run on a single computer. So it's 1,000 Monte Carlo replications. But on the cloud, let's just say that we can get 10 nodes. So now we can give each node 1,000 Monte Carlo replications. So we're basically dividing the work, you know, significantly. We're distributing the workload across 10 computers as opposed to doing it all on a single computer. So an analogy I like to use is you have one person throwing, I said these numbers wrong, didn't I? All right, 10,000 instead of 1,000. The concrete example is 10,000 Monte Carlo replications divided among 10 nodes. So they each get 1,000. I think I said that backwards the first time. Sorry about that. So let's say that we have one person throwing 10,000 darts. So you have one person, one board. That would be an example of doing it all on one computer. But for the ensemble runs, or the parallel runs, you have 10 people each throwing 1,000. So now you have 10 people, 10 boards. So we're going to be able to throw those darts a lot faster in the scenario closer to the bottom of the screen where we have 10 people and 10 boards. And that's the idea. We want to throw these darts fast. We want to get people results that need results. So we've done a lot of testing. This is just from one of our examples. So a single run takes 2.5 hours, you know, if you do it on one computer, versus if you split it up among 10 cloud nodes, then it takes 17 minutes. So it's an approximate speed up of 9 times. So you get your data 9 times faster. So it's interesting to note here that the theoretical maximum, if we have 10 nodes, the theoretical maximum for speedup should be 10. There is some loss in efficiency here. The extra layers of the cloud software, you know, require some more time. And remember, it's a virtual machine that we're running on. So the virtual machine doesn't have as direct access to the hardware as the host operating system. So there is a little bit of loss of efficiency there. And it's important to note that identical hardware was used for all these calculations. It looks like an approximate speed up will be about the number of nodes times 0.7 to 0.9. We're gonna do some more scalability testing on this. And it's also important to note that this is really most useful for large SatScan jobs. I mean, if your job only takes 30 minutes, it's probably not worth, it wouldn't be worth messing with all this infrastructure. Another thing that's that was challenging about this is when you run your job on a single computer, you get, I think it's like 4 result files, right? But now that we divide it among 10 computers, we get 4 result files for each computer. So we get 40 files. We did an analysis on these files once, you know. So basically you stand up the cloud, okay, we get our 10 nodes over here. We have our client. We submit all of our jobs and we get our data back. And the cloud disappears when we're done. Now those 40 files have to be recombined into something an epidemiologist might want to look at. So we recombined them and ran some statistics on it to make sure that this valid, make sure that the data is valid across the cloud. And it is. So some of the importance of this work is you can get faster results and allowing for more replications to be done gives you a closer idea of what the situation is in reality. And excuse me, one of the things we didn't count on being a challenge is we kept running into this out of memory error. For those of you that have used SatScan, there's this, if you say, you know, do 100 million replications, it's going to say you need 500 terabytes of RAM to do that, right? So that was something I didn't really plan on running into. But one interesting outcome is that for certain jobs, you cannot run it on a single computer. It'll just say you don't have enough memory. But if we can divide it among the cloud or distribute the workload amongst the cloud, then we can run jobs that couldn't be run before. So making the previously impossible possible. So SatScan is a good service, is unique as far as we know. And the resources on demand is really what's unique about this. It's important to note that there's two ways to use SatScan as a grid service. Looks like I'm gonna finish ahead of time. So you can do it dynamically, which is really what this presentation was about, or you could do it statically. You could install just the grid service, which is just the like the analytical component of this, or you could do it dynamically. Anyway, the static is important to note here that static could be used across your public health entity as is. You could install this grid service on your desktops, and you don't have to do any cloud. But both the dynamic and the static make better use of an existing resources. So well, I don't need to stress this too much, but there's multiple ways. Once SatScan's in a grid service, we can use it in all sorts of creative ways. And here's the acknowledgments. So this was very much a collaborative effort, and many thanks to our funders. So hopefully that made sense.
Very good. Thank you very much. And as Ron has emphasized, I'll call your attention to the fact that each of our presenters this afternoon has collaborated with other authors on their abstracts. You can find the information about each of our presenters and the rest of the full wording of their abstract on the website, the Finn Conference website. provides all of that for you for further follow-up and your information. The second of our presentations.
And so these terms are challenging and they are new, and marketing people have also got a hold of these and tried to make it what they want it to be. So here's the definition of grid computing in terms of public health. I don't want to read that to you because I know we can all read. And then there's cloud computing down there at the bottom, rapidly provisioned and released, which is really the on-demand component. And I would, from my perspective, I've been doing grid research and development for 6 years now. I would say that the cloud is a subset of the grid. So hopefully that doesn't add to the confusion. I knew this was going to happen in this presentation. Yes, Ravi. Sorry to interrupt the flow of this here, but that's Ravi Madari. He works at Argonne National Lab under Ian Foster. Ian Foster is kind of like the creator of grid computing, Carl Kesselman, Ian Foster. And anyway, I think Ravi said it best. Hopefully you could all hear that. So I'll get out of the way and let the other speakers have a shot at this.
Any additional response from Dave or from Mark into the enterprise of the definitions of the two terms? Additional comments from the audience, folks, about defining those terms, which turns out to be more complicated than we might have imagined. There's a hand just right here, if you will, please.
Yeah. My understanding of it is that cloud computing was originally focused on virtual access to virtual infrastructure, computing infrastructure, hardware, software, storage. So if you want to move your application out, put on somebody else's network and infrastructure. That's what cloud computing started as. Grid computing is initially focused on delivering high performance computing services to make them ubiquitous and available to those who have authorized access. And that's either computationally intensive services or massive stores that you need to go through lots of data. But it's high-performance computing services that are being delivered based on what are called grid technologies, which are primarily open source. The complication has arisen because over time, you've got multiple definitions. in the marketing arena that they're using cloud in very vague ways. On the grid computing side, there are grid technologies for delivering high-performance computing services that originated with the Department of Energy. And then there's Ian Foster's definition of the grid as a virtual community. And ultimately, where it's all going, in my view, is that we're talking about web services that can deliver standard web services or high-performance computing. It's as I forget the gentleman's name that IBM characterized, as the internet as virtual computer. In other words, Scott McNeil is the network as a computer. It's all you need is a browser, you go in, services are out there, you access them, you drag and drop, you orchestrate them. Some of those services are simple standard web services, but grid technologies are delivering high performance computing among the services you can access. Semantic web thus far is primarily focused on data navigation, use of ontologies and resource description frameworks.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much. We'd like to move on to additional questions from the audience. Other things you'd like to hear more about? You had a chance, anybody else that didn't get a chance yet for a question to be raised? I want to make sure that folks have the opportunity. Yes, if you would, please. For standards grid services along the procurement thread, any more clarity that you can provide, any opportunity will be helpful in the discussions. Thank you very much for that suggestion. Additional questions or comments or further discussion? What else? Yes, sir. I'm interested to hear which of our speakers wants to take that first. Yes.
So let me try to summarize.
All right,
we're
good. Good, thank you.
So the question, I believe, and correct me if this isn't an accurate summary, is what are the other potential uses for what we did with SatScan up here? And might we be able to accelerate the rate of results of other types of spatial or temporal analysis? And I would say the potential is absolutely there. For instance, what we did with SatScan, and I probably explained it in too much of a hurry, but what we did with SatScan is definitely generalizable to other embarrassingly parallel problems. Okay, so embarrassingly parallel, what is that? That's a high performance computing term saying that each dart is independent. For those of you that saw my dart analogy, you know, each dart is its own computation, or it's not, one dart is not dependent on another dart. If we're throwing darts at a board, as long as your darts are independent, then you can scale, or you can distribute your computations across many computers by wrapping it in a grid service, and then standing up that grid service on other resources, either statically or dynamically, and dynamically, i.e. the cloud. So as long as you can break up your spatial or temporal analysis into subjobs that are not dependent upon other subjobs, you can absolutely do kind of what we did here with that.
Additional comments from either of our other two speakers? A very intriguing question. Thank you for raising that. Additional comments in response to his question from anybody else in the audience you'd like to answer or follow up? What other questions do you have? Items for discussion. Seeing none, we would like to open the door for opportunity. Each of our three speakers will stay afterwards and are very happy to get to know you and further discuss these items with you. Thank you again to each of our three speakers and to each of you for attending and your close attention. Enjoy the rest of your conference.